Ms. LaSalle?
Here.
Mr. Mitchell?
Here.
Mr. Rupert?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And I would like to point out that our usual secretary, Helen Neal, is not with us this evening, but we have Marta Neal, and all I have to remember is to say Miss Neal, and I'll have it down pat. Helen this evening is away on a personal matter. Moving now to our agenda, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Mr. Mitchell, I had moved that the Board of Education approves the agenda for the special meeting of March 23, 2017, as presented, please.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve tonight's agenda. It's been brought to my attention, we're in discussion phase now, it's been brought to my attention that our public might be curious as to why we do not have the Longview question on our agenda this evening. We had talked about at our last meeting putting it on the agenda, and I'm going to ask our Superintendent Terry Elliott if he would give us an update on why we pulled that from the agenda.
Sure. We as I mentioned at our last meeting, we are working with the school in conversations, and as those conversations continue, we were not prepared to come forward. We've had some great conversations with the staff over there. They've pointed out some concerns. We want to make sure that we are looking at their concerns and hearing their voices in this process. Also, to give us an opportunity, as we look at this, we are starting to find other questions, and before we make any type of an investment in a move or reconstructing any facilities, we want to make sure that we're making decisions that will last for a long term. So we're working closely with the staffs at both buildings as well as district staff.
So essentially, we are not ready to discuss that issue here at the board. We're still collecting information.
We don't have a recommendation to bring to the board at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Elliott. Any other discussion, board members?
And before we set it and put it back on the agenda, you will let us know when that appropriate time would be?
Correct, right. So as we move down this process, we'll keep you up to date either through the weekly update and then and in future board prep meetings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roll call, please, on the motion to approve the agenda for this evening.
Ms. Harmon?
Yes.
Ms. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Mr. Rupert?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Board of Education will begin tonight with members of our District Accountability Committee with their recommendation for spending priorities of district funds in the development of the 2017-18 budget. After months of work, on March 14th, the District Accountability Committee reached agreement on its 2017-2018 budget recommendations to the Board of Education. The DAC Budget Committee members, I think several, if not all, are here. I can't tell if all are here, but I know several are here. Katie Winter, Brian Conroy, Suzanne Covington, Dave Johnson, Bill Cottonstead, Nancy McCandless, Annette McMahon, and Greg Supal and David Wells have worked with district staff and the information collected through the online budget tool process, as well as information from school accountability committees' feedback across the district. Mr. Elliott, would you like to add anything to my introduction to the DAC committee report?
No, other than to say that the way we work and operate in the DAC is we have a subcommittee that brings the full report to the full committee, which takes a vote on that. So what you're receiving is the full committee's perspective.
Okay. With that, I'm going to say welcome Ms. Guidocci and Mr. Johnson. Do I have it right? Close enough?
Close enough.
Thank you for being here. If you bring up other members or if you would like to introduce the members of the DAC committee who are here, feel free to do that.
Okay, thank you. I would like to introduce our co-vice chair, which is Greg Supal, and the chair, which is Katie Winter, and then the presenter tonight, the main presenter is Dave Johnson, who is also the co-vice chair with Greg, and he is a parent in Evergreen.
Thank you for doing that. Please go ahead with your presentation and recommendation.
Thank you. I have a slide presentation that has a series of slides. I don't know, do you have that in front of you, or and everyone's got a copy of that? Okay, great. You know, first of all, I would like to recognize the district staff, many of which are here tonight. We have been working over the course of the past several months trying to put together this report, and they have worked tirelessly for providing us a series of data and feedback, attending our meetings, which we had quite a few leading up to this, to gather as much information as possible to make these recommendations, and I just wanted to recognize them for all of their hard work. It was tremendous and extremely important to us. And the DAC, in just as a side note, the budget subcommittee is comprised of representatives of the DAC, and so we had a wide range of people on that subcommittee that included staff, included parents, included SACs, included articulation chairs. So we had a very diverse group of people within the DAC representing all aspects of what we were trying to present. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone recognized that as we, you know, dove into the recommendations, that again, it was a pretty diverse group, which of course, you know, created a healthy, spirited debate in regards to that diverse group. So, you know, with that, I'll dive right in to our recommendations. The recommendations for the budget priority list, oh, come on, baby. There we go. For the school year of 2017-2018, and this is no particular order, is to fund and support the district UIP, to support the employee compensation goal, which was the $25 million goal set aside earlier in the year, to continue student behavioral and mental health support, and to maintain student-based budget funding for the school-level expenditures, the SBB funding. And again, those are in no particular order. And I'm going to expand on our rationale and each of them individually as we move forward. We also wanted to make a notation in regards to a finding, in regards to what we're calling an urgent finding and a recommendation. You know, the DAC has identified and supports an immediate need for the Board of Education to create a fair and transparent process to face difficult decision-making that may or may not include school closures, boundary changes, and facility reallocations. And I'm going to, again, expand on that a little bit later as we get through each recommendation. When we touch on the rationale of what we were utilizing in regards to how we did this, this chart does a simple breakdown in regards to how we came up with those things. On the left, you'll see the four recommendations, and along the top, you'll see the different criteria that we use to do so. The SAC survey is given out to all the SACs in regards to, you know, I don't need to tell you what the SAC survey is, but the SAC survey supported each of those recommendations thoroughly, and so did the community survey, the cabinet recommendations, and the board priorities. So each of the recommendations, again, were not only a compilation of the budget subcommittee's information, but it was also driven mostly by the feedback that we get, which is from the community, from the SACs, and from the cabinet. In regards to each one individually, funding the district UIP, we would like to make a recommendation that you suspend the deferred cuts that were part of the cabinet recommendation, which are recognized in the recommendations in, that were proven forward in phase two and phase three that were cited as deferred. GT resource teachers, literacy interventionists, and the MAP K through 12 testing. And so that's a recommendation that we believe pretty strongly in that regard. To support employee compensation, obviously the competitiveness of employee compensation has been on the agenda a number of times. Obviously that's a major goal of the district. We again support that as a DAC. And then the community budget survey, it was pretty resounding in regards to over 82% of those respondents supported that. And so we took great weight in that regard in making sure that that was emphasized as a recommendation of ours, that we strongly support the employee compensation goals of the district. In regards to the continuing of student behavioral and mental health support, we believe the social and emotional learning specialists that were added last year through tremendous efforts of the DAC and last year's budget committee to create those positions should be continued. that we indefinitely suspend the two deferred cuts that were part of, that we touched on earlier, in the phase three cuts, that the elimination areas of all the social emotional learning specialists are tabled, if not eliminated. And then the SAC surveys support that, showing that behavior and mental health are highly regarded as being an emphasis going into next year. We did want to add some additional data to that that the district staff had provided, where there was immediate impact from those social emotional learning specialists, even as early as last year, on the impact that they had. And that was provided in a letter.
I would just note that one of the things that we relied on was a letter from the middle school principals, and I'm very proud to say that that letter was authored by the principals in the Ralston Valley area, articulation area, which is my articulation area. And I thought that in the DAC felt like it was very persuasive, and that was one of the things that we provided to the DAC when we were reviewing this in terms of how impactful the middle school principals felt that those mental health specialists were, and especially as we're going to start perhaps transitioning some of the sixth graders to the middle schools, that's going to be a critical piece. And I know that that letter is part of came to the board. I can provide a copy for you here if you would like to take a look at that. But you have seen that. It was from February 8th. But if you would like, I can approach and hand you a copy of that document for you to review, because I felt like that was pretty persuasive, and that was, the DAC found that as well. Would you like me to approach Mr.
Do you Mitchell? Actually have...
I have a copy of the letter.
Do you have five copies or just one?
I have one on
me. We received it as well.
Okay.
It should have been provided to you already.
Okay, if you'd like to give that to Marta, but I do think we have a copy of that, but let's make sure.
Okay.
So by giving it to her, we can copy it. We'll make sure all board members get it.
Great.
Thank you.
Next point being maintaining the student-based budgeting funding. You know, the DAC supports the board's decision and maintains the student-based budgeting funding levels. SAC surveys show that, you know, student-based budgeting has been a profound tool in regards to the principal's ability to do their jobs, and we fully support that continuing. And so in closing, you know, I want to jump down to the urgent finding, because really what most of our time in regards to the budget subcommittee talking about the agenda of what our priorities were emphasized this kind of bottom point. I think that we want to make sure that you understand that we as a DAC support the difficult decisions that you have to make. We fully understand, as we were trying to look at the budget and their decision making and where you're going to make the cuts and what you're going to do, you know, how are you going to do those things? How are they going to be done with very difficult decisions? And we just wanted to make sure that we emphasized our support for you when you have to emphasize and exercise political will making very difficult decisions. That you can't have a UIP and have the bar here in Jefferson County where it has been and needs to continue to be, having it being underfunded. You can't have employee compensation not being competitive. We didn't receive the bond and the mill levy, and we didn't get the money that we thought we were going to get. Well, that's, you know, boo-hoo, that's too bad. We need to move forward, and everybody understands that. And so also from the standpoint of the behavioral health and mental health, that needs to be supported, and the data shows that. And then the fourth, you know, student-based budgeting, the principals spoke loud and clear in regards to the SAC surveys that is their tool to be successful. And so if we're going to be able to make a recommendation for you to be able to support those four items, you either need to, you know, put up a tent at the state capitol and have them give us more money, right, and just never leave, or make difficult decisions. And that's where much of the teeth gnashing happened at the DAC in regards to how do we do that. Do you not do one of those three or four things, and how do you remain a top-level district in this state that we all want it to be? And so what we came up with was this urgent finding, that we believe that strongly that we wanted to support you as you make difficult decisions. And so when you go into next year's budget and budget process, that there's somewhat an immediate emphasis in regards to a transparent process of giving the public the ability to see what those difficult decisions are. Specifically, school closures and school reallocations, which we know was a very difficult decision just a couple weeks ago. And so we as a DAC wanted to make sure that you had an understanding of, you know, our strong support in regards to your having to make those difficult decisions, and that being an urgent recommendation.
One thing I would add to that is that in our discussions, one of the things we talked about was that you need to start the process, in our opinion, and our recommendation to you is that you need to start the process immediately to implement the procedures for how you close schools and how you change boundaries. What are those procedures? And get that in place now. Start right away. So that's, everybody knows that that's in place and what those procedures look like. And then once you have the process, we would encourage you, and part of our discussion was that we would encourage you to begin those discussions now so that it's not at the 11th hour when we are faced with, unfortunately, what might be the reality, more budget cuts from the state, and we have to find some way to you know, make some cuts and so that we can fund some things. And the other thing that I think was pretty persuasive, and Mr. Elliott talked about this one of the board meetings, I remember hearing his presentation. When you close a school, those kids are still going to get a quality education. They're just going to get it at a different location. And if you're looking at some of these other cuts, those may hit harder on children versus the short-term impact of just moving them to a school. I think the other thing he was talking about in that presentation were the PLCs, and that there's actually an educational benefit from moving children from some of these small schools into a school where they can do collaborative planning with their other teachers in the building, and you don't just have one classroom per level of education. You have the multiple teachers in multiple classrooms. You can collaborate, and they can get an even better education. And I think that's one of the things that we were focusing on in DAC in terms of looking at the school closures not as a detriment, but actually can be a benefit to increasing the quality of education for the children. And perhaps that's a different way to look at it.
Anything else from the DAC? We may have questions from the board. I'm just making sure that you've had an opportunity, Mr. Johnson, to finish your presentation.
Yeah, no, that was our closing statement, and I think Deb did a good job of wrapping that up. I think that's complete.
Are there questions that any of us need to ask of our DAC committee?
I have a question. So thank you for your clarification and your points about school closures. I appreciate that. Boundary changes, is there something that's really not clear or something specific in terms of the timing of those, the process of those coming up in October that we need to be talking about? Is there something more specific on that?
And I think that what happened was is that when we started discussing this as a DAC, there seemed to be some feedback that there wasn't enough time to make decisions, and I think it just got lumped into all in one thing. You know, the school closures, we felt pressured, and those boundary things, and, you know, and so the pushback just seemed to be just all-encompassing in regards to the difficult decisions. And so we just put it in, maybe couching the school closure item a little bit too, but just making sure that it's just an overall process.
And we didn't want to take any of the options off the table for the board in terms of what's the most effective use of the dollars. And if you do need to make school closures, do you also need to impact boundary changes? We didn't. I think we included everything because we didn't want to hem you in any way.
Well, I want you to know that I appreciate you bringing these recommendations to us. It is helpful to the board to have feedback from our communities and from key communicators within our communities. Later this evening, when we get into our budget discussion, I'm actually going to ask some questions to see how we're doing in terms of your recommendations. I actually think we're in pretty good shape on them, but I don't want to say that until I've you know, examine the budget where we are right now more carefully. I hope that we can add a Board X in continual student behavioral supports. I think we do support that, and I think we have from a budget point of view, but I'll check that later. And then in terms of funding the UIP, I think we've maintained reasonable funding in there, and I'm going to ask that later, Terry, unless you want to answer it now.
I think it's appropriate when we're going through the budget direction later tonight. Certainly happy to answer it now, though, if you'd like. But
okay. So I really appreciate the obvious time you spent on this, the input that you collected, and the outcome that you've presented to us this evening. Thank you very much for the hard work that you do for all of our students. Thank you.
Do you mind if I'd like to ask a quick question? You held up the list of cuts and deferred cuts, and I'm a little curious, were there items that we actually did cut that the DAC thought we shouldn't have? Are there any specific items that come to mind?
Can I look in my notes?
Sure.
I think you deferred all of the cuts, but what we were saying, there were seven items, and we can. I have them starred on my sheet. I can approach and hand you this as well.
No. It's part of the main report. It's part of the main report. There was not something obvious that we looked at as far as the phase one and the phase two cuts that I do not remember any discussion that itemized anything that came out.
I will say that in terms of, to be clear, that I'll go through them on this list because I think that's helpful as well. And so in the third kind of block, this report that you were looking at, there was, I'm going to have trouble reading it, eliminate area SELs,
right.
GT resource teachers, and literacy interventionists, half of 10. And then in the next block down under phase two, it was SEL stage two, and it was 11 positions, literacy interventionists all, MAP K through two portion only, and then in phase three, it was SEL stage three remaining positions plus the coordinator.
All right, so those are all things that we did deferral rather than...
That's correct, and that's what we were emphasizing in that one slide in regards to table those, because those, and Matt Flores, I believe, also gave a presentation, and that was the notes that we were checking, that said that those cuts would probably have some direct impact on the UIP and those things, you know, if those were implemented.
Well, we need to make no mistake. We're at a place in our budget creation that if we have to do a lot more cutting, whatever we cut is going to have an impact on the children.
Correct.
And their education.
And I think that was our conclusion also, and that's why we came to the urgent finding was that we recognized that. We totally understood that.
Yeah.
There was the effort that was put, you know, behind the district and the cabinet in regards to the cuts that were made were thorough and well vetted, and we understood that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I'll jump in really quick and first say thank you. It was really enjoyable to visit a DAC meeting in the recent history, and I think I was able to listen in more on some of the DAC, a little bit of the budget conversation, and also some of the UIP review. So I'm looking forward to April 6th when you all will come back and give us an update on that district UIP, Unified Improvement Plan progress. Really looking forward to that. One of the things that I remember from last year is we used some one-time dollars to support the district UIP. Those are by no means the only dollars. I mean, generally, we want to know that our entire budget is driven by our values and aims for students. But I just kind of want to confirm that we're in good shape without utilizing additional one-time dollars to fully fund the district UIP, the shared goals of improvement. And it may be that our cabinet or superintendent can confirm that, can walk us through. In addition, I know that last year with our social-emotional learning, initially the cabinet had hoped to provide those in every school, and we only funded half, recognizing that we don't have all the dollars we wish we did. And right now we're trying to hold steady and continue the services that we initiated last year, recognizing that we haven't completed that. And I just kind of want to circle back on those two things quickly to say, are we holding? Is there anything that we as a board need to know as we move forward
Right. I'll ask Matt and Kevin to kind of address a little bit of the specifics around this. I think this also gets to the question, Ron, that we were kicking around to maybe hold till the latter conversation.
We can do, for sure.
No, that's fine. I think it's been raised. We believe we're in good shape with the funding as set for next year. The one-time dollars were supportive but not essential to maintain the DUIP, and I'll let Matt talk a little bit about some of those one-time dollars, and then if Kevin could address the question related to the cells.
So this year, we've been able to use some funds tied to the four indicators within our major improvement strategies: continuous improvement, early literacy, eighth grade math, and multiple pathways, to create some opportunities to partner with our schools and our central office to make sure that we have the skills and resources necessary to support each of those initiatives. We've trained dozens of people in the short cycle improvement processes you've seen a couple times during our DUIP update presentations. We've supported early literacy in a number of ways. We've we've partnered with literacy interventionists. We've done dozens and dozens of after-school trainings and release opportunities to train teachers with better strategies, and been able to purchase some resources to perpetuate some instructional strategies specific to our earliest learners in literacy. In math, we've been able to partner with side-by-side planning with schools, offer individual school and team-based professional learning, in addition, offer resources and additional professional development for all of our teachers. And as far as multiple pathways goes, we've been able to use some of those funds to perpetuate some important programs that allow for apprenticeship programs. We're proud to say that we're increasing concurrent enrollment, and some of those funds went to help pay and support Accuplacer testing for students, which of course is a requirement for concurrent enrollment. We strongly believe that we can perpetuate some of those behaviors through our general fund next year, and we've organized efforts around that and made sure that any of the cuts that were offered through the recent process in February did not impact those specific targets.
Okay. With regard to the money that you set aside for the social emotional learning specialist last year, you afforded us $2.78 million of ongoing funds. That money continues. Also, you afforded us $1 million of one-time funds. We've leveraged those funds to increase partnerships with JCMH partners in several of our schools. That funding, of course, was one-time dollars, so those relationships will be broken. We'll lose a little bit of that JCMH support in certain locations. In addition to that one-time funds, those were used to leverage training opportunities for ourselves, so they all are now nationally certified trainers of mental health first aid in the classroom. So they can train others with that training, which is great. They can do that across all of their areas, but the building-based middle school cells stand in place.
Okay. And I will say, I've spoken with enough principals to hear that those JCMH relationships have been valuable where they exist, and some of them are being continued under SBB because it is cost-effective for those schools that might not otherwise be able to add social-emotional support. Well, not the SEL position, but other additional social-emotional supports. So I'm happy to know that where it has been valuable, principals are, on occasion, investing in it through their SBB dollars. I would like to understand better. I appreciate the urgent finding. One of the reasons I appreciate it is because it's nice to know that we have our DAC standing with us as we navigate difficult conversations, and I appreciate that a great deal. You've given a lot of care and time and energy to digging through our budget and our student learning outcomes, and it's nice to know that you'll continue to stand with us as we navigate difficult conversations. I appreciate your recognition that we need an articulated, fair, and transparent process. I would just welcome any general updates that might exist around that. I had
a question about that as well. Okay. And I'm assuming you are, I've got that slide up, number three, has identified and supports an immediate need for the Board of Education to create and implement a fair and transparent. Are you referring to a healthy, vetted process for surrounding the school closures and boundary? Well, I feel like we already have that for boundaries. Are you referring to
yes.
school closures in particular
yes.
or reallocation
yes.
of school
That's
schools?
Yeah, yes, that would be correct.
And facility reallocation, can you please define that for me?
If we have to combine, I think, again, we were just trying to not limit you. And mm-hmm. so we were thinking of any possible scenario. So it may be that you had to move a part of a school. I know you were talking about combining schools and that kind of thing. And so that was probably our inartful word of just how to capture that kind of thing.
And I do appreciate, so you are referring to what we've been talking about as far as like a task force or I don't know what we're really calling it because we haven't done it yet.
But, absolutely.
Okay.
And one thing that kept coming up, and I think this is a word I would like to, and I think you mentioned it in your presentation, is to have the political will. We talked about that over and over again, that you're in a tough situation, absolutely, and we appreciate that, but we would stand beside you and support you to have the political will to make those tough decisions.
Did that answer
okay.
your question?
It did, and I do look forward to next steps because I think that in order to be in a place where we can act together, I'll share two phrases that are not mine because I always like to steal other people's better phrases. The first is, as my son gets ready to transition to junior high, it was great to visit the school that he'll land at next year, and he said really well, we're a big school, but we can get small fast when we need to. There's a sense that a large school can be an immediately responsive place for a single student when that single student needs that, and I want to be sure that we're able to do that at the system level, that when we need to circle up and connect with the community, that we know how to do that, we know how to do that well, and there's clarity around both policy and process that we can all believe in and feel like we're moving through difficult waters, but we kind of know the lay of the land, we know the currents, we know some best practices, we know some models that are out there, because this is not the first time this conversation has had to be navigated by school systems, and we want to do it well, and we want to do it with, not to, communities, and I think that fair and transparent process gets us closer to that. So I want to know how we're going to wrangle that, because I know, Mr. Rupert, you mentioned it's on the horizon, and the horizon's going to come quicker than we. So how do we get ready?
It's here. I'm just saying. I mean, time. We don't have the luxury of that. We don't. Just to be really honest, right. This is all really important. Then we really need to be doing it now.
And so I would say that we have heard that loud and clear, and we have begun discussions and doing some research within Cabinet around best practices nationally, looking at a possible RFI situation and building out a framework to bring to this board to review and give guidance on in addressing that particular issue. Process, policies, how do we do this better in the future?
I will tell you just anecdotally that there are some parents on DAC that were, their schools, their children's schools were on the chopping block, and they still voted for this. Mm-hmm. So it's not the fact that you're closing the schools that I think you had so many people in this room talking to you. I think it was the process, and even those people whose kids could still be on the chopping block, their schools, they were supportive of this mm-hmm. approach because of what it means for the district in terms of funding in other places. And you spoke, I mean, there's not enough dollars, and we have to look at where we're going to use the dollars most effectively. And it may be hurt for the short term to close some schools, but you're still providing a quality education. And I think that's what you have to keep circling back to. And that's what we talked about as a DAC and in our budget subcommittee.
And I did want to comment on the SELs. Obviously, that's loud and clear in yours, and I just want you to know that every building I am in, that is the one thing that principals ask me about, that counselors ask me about, and that for anyone who's concerned that that's not being measured, it's measured every day in our schools, and that contribution I constantly am thanked for in terms of board members to share that, and so thank you. For reinforcing that value and that need and that desire to not have that on the chopping block, which means we really need to be looking at other things.
I also want to thank and appreciate the fact that you mentioned the diversity of your group and the fact that you had spirited conversations, because I think that's very important. I think it's very important to have that group of people be full of people with differing opinions, because I feel like we learn more and the most when we are open to differing opinions. So I'm going to be asking in the next time we're meeting, I think we're going to have a lot of openings in DAC, and I'm curious as to, and I don't want you to answer now, I want you to put some thought into this, as to whose voice in our community might be missing that we might want to be hearing from in the DAC, or because there are a lot of, it seems like there will be a lot of openings that we need to be filling in the next, I don't know when we do that, next couple of months, and would be curious to hear maybe another time your thoughts on voices that might be missing from our community.
Okay. I would also suggest, since you're asking, in terms of the vacancies, as you know, with any organization, there's going to be people that doesn't work out in terms of vacancies. And one thing as the DAC chair that I would recommend that you take a look at is, at the beginning of the year, we fill all the vacancies, but then perhaps do that at mid-year, at the semester, and look at the vacancies. There are three seats that are board appointees that are vacant at this point in time. And I think if you guys fill that, then, I mean, you can't do it every month, obviously, but maybe twice a year might be something to think about. Mm-hmm. And look at that as a way to make sure that the DAC is full. That's one thing that I have thought about.
And I do know that application process for any of our community members that might be interested in participating, that is open now, and we're hungry to connect with community members, families who believe that they want to connect to that work. So help us get the word out, and I know that thank you to district staff who are sharing that through many of our communications. So we can
do any kind of like exit interview when people leave to find out what they did not like about that position and or something to better
this
help us.
This is the second year of the DAC, so I'm not sure we've gotten that sophisticated, but it would be a great idea.
I hear things from people, and I don't know. I don't go to the meetings. I don't know exactly everything that goes on there. I would wonder if that would be helpful, anonymous
exit interviews.
Yes.
Some of them aren't shy about telling you. I'm sure they'd be happy to.
Yeah,
you got the G-rated version of our spirited debate.
I don't need them to come and tell me, but if they want to fill out a tiny exit interview, I don't know, for purposes of when we are selecting new members, things that we might want to be cognizant of, I don't know.
And I am appreciative because I believe we're adding a little bit of a step this year in giving board members an opportunity to connect with some of the people that are applying, so we're not going from a sheet.
Right, we're trying to leverage the feedback you gave us last year to refine the process.
I just remember that, thinking I wish I had a little more information. I don't know.
That'll be great. Thank you.
I think we're going to have it this year.
Great.
But I believe that's what Mr. Elliott's saying.
Excellent.
Quick answer to your question, though, is I believe that there was a large diversity within the group. That's just my personal opinion. Being a first-year DAC member, it was well represented in all facets. So if we can continue how it was done before and continue to have all those areas covered, it will continue to be successful as it was, I believe, in this process and the other two or three processes with the other subcommittees. But that's been my experience.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you to you both. Please carry back to the rest of the DAC our sincere thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move now to the board receiving information on the state fiscal outlook, school finance, and JEFCO funding to provide final direction on priorities and placeholders to direct preparation for the 17-18 proposed budget for the planned public hearing that we will host on April 20th. Discussion on development of the 2017-18 budget began in October of 2016 with additional discussions at board meetings on November 17th, 2016, December 1, 2016, January 26th of 17, and February 9th of 17. On the 9th, the board provided initial direction on the recommendations from district leadership for reductions and reallocations. We received input on budget priorities from the community through the engagement at the NOW Boarding of Education forums, public comment at board meetings, correspondence to the board, results from community online interactive budget tool exercise, and four telephone town hall sessions, as well as information on priorities identified by school-level accountability committees before the just-presented district accountability committee recommendations. Anything to add to that, Mr. Elliott? Are we good to go? Once again, welcome Ms. Askelson, Ms. Stewart, and Ms. Thompson, I think. I have that right. Please begin.
Thank you. So tonight, we're going to review where we are in our budget process timeline. We're going to go over some of the highlights of our community engagement, the March forecast that was released last Friday. So we have our state economy updated with proposed legislation. We will have our current projections for the 17-18 budget and our proposed placeholders. And we're asking for direction tonight so that the budget team can start building the 17-18 budget proposal to bring back on April 20th and would then be on track for final adoption on May 4th. So here's our timeline. The process, we usually try to time with legislation, but as we know, they could go up until May 10th before they finally finish the adoption of the School Finance Act. So we need to continue moving forward. It does take us a little bit to build a budget for an organization this size, and we can't really wait till May 10th and turn it around that quickly. So we have some early items that we would like to discuss as we start building the budget and using most of April in doing that. So going back and just reiterating a little bit, a few of the high points on our community and staff engagement. So this is a list of our community engagement tools that we use this year to provide feedback and priorities from our stakeholders. The results for the interactive budget tool has been posted on our website, and you just heard from our District Accountability Committee, who drew information from each individual SAC and the community survey. Cabinet recommendations were presented at the January 26th Board of Education meeting. We had telephone town halls that were held on two different evenings, and the budget was discussed at the February 7th all leadership meeting with any comments collected provided to the board. So going first into our community engagement tool, the tool was opened on January 21st and remained open until February 10th. It was available in English and Spanish and advertised through multiple channels. The site had 18,000 visitors. We had over 5,000 responses, and it was significantly higher response rate than the prior year. So the results of the tool have been given to the board and posted on our district website. So this sheet just shows the average response for each question. So we saw increasing compensation, keeping deferred maintenance, SBB and technology stable, slight decreases for student mental health, athletics and activities, support for increasing fees, larger cuts in central staff, and the average response was for four school closures. And a note about this increased compensation, just to point out, that compensation question was framed as being competitive with other districts. What type of investment would our respondents be weighing in on and investing to get us competitive with other neighboring districts? So when we look at that, it was above and beyond just moving around on our current scale. It was investing into the scale. So just to clarify that. So just before this presentation, you heard from our District Accountability Committee and the work they have done this year to hear back from each school on the needs of those schools. Their recommendation is to fund the District Improvement Plan, which supports the board's deferrals that were made on the previous reduction list, as we talked about, supports improving employee compensation investments, maintaining mental health supports, and SBB. And the DAC also made a statement supporting the ongoing work of evaluating and utilizing our facilities and resources effectively. We also conducted four town halls that reached out to almost 4,000 listeners. There were two questions participants responded to. 62% did not support closing schools, and 94% supported the board priorities that included compensation and maintaining the budgets at the schools. And then at the February 7th all leadership meeting, the January 26th Board of Education presentation was presented, and discussion took place around that budget. A variety of comments were noted, but there was no formal feedback solicited, but we did provide those comments for you. So that is our community engagement processes overview. So moving on to the state of the economy. So the forecasts were released from the Colorado Office of State Planning and Budget and Legislative Council last Friday. The economy continues to show growth, especially with what appears to be the end of the downturn for the oil and gas industry. The final inflation rate for 2016 to be used for our 17-18 funding will be 2.8%. The residential assessment rate note was changed, was noted again in the forecast that we are losing ground on that. Tabor refunds are not projected for 16-17, the current year, but there is projections for those to start in 17-18. So the two forecasts had some differences. One was a little bit more pessimistic. That was the Office of the State Planning and Budget, then Legislative Council's forecast. It appears that Joint Budget Committee is going to use the more optimistic forecast. We were curious about which way they were going to go on that. So just as a reminder, as we look at this, the governor's proposal that was released in November 2016 increased school funding, but not to the extent, because there was an increase in the negative factor with that assumption. The inflation factor in that was 2.7, so the actual final one is 2.8, so it just ticked up about 0.1% then. So we've been watching the information, and thanks to Ed, he's always helpful with us, see what's going on at the Capitol. Early yesterday, there were some early estimates that the negative factor would increase to $75 million. Today, it's gone back down to 50. So that number is shifting every day, and we are just watching it and trying to be conservative and navigate through all of that change. But we think this proposal will do us that where we navigate those waters, and we can adjust to whatever comes through at the state level. What's good to hear is that it's not growing exponentially and that we are yet at a negative funding situation. So that's still a positive, what we're hearing on the horizon. So then I put this slide back in just as a reminder that how we landed on a $4 million proposal was that it was the governor's proposal and the assumption that the residential assessment rate might not be backfilled completely at the state level, which would have resulted in $4 million new money for us. This is our scenario sheet that we've shown a couple of times. And again, we have in the red box that $4 million increase. And this has been the same sheet we've been showing, so it hasn't been updated for any other numbers. So moving on to our 17-18 budget. So from our February meeting, the board identified $10.8 million in reductions to incorporate, and with the recommended scenario, we would have $9 million to create a total of $19.8 million in resources to be allocated within the upcoming budget. This sheet is the same of our, this is actually our 16-17 general, or our 15-16 general fund reserves. I'm sorry, I don't think this is labeled quite right. This is our end of year, yeah, it says at the bottom. Just to remind us where our reserves are at, and again, what resources we have. So moving forward, we are recommending to start building the budget based on $4 million in new funding, incorporating the reductions that the board has approved in the earlier meeting, that will affect our revenue budgets, our transfers, and our expenditure budgets to create those savings of $10.8 million, incorporating the offsetting amount in compensation across the district. So it would not be targeted because we know we are in still negotiations with some of our group, union groups, and we want to make sure that those are in place before we actually place any strategic clarified placeholders. So this would just be a top-level placeholder. Does that make sense? So no amount of reserves we are proposing to use at this time in this budget scenario. And as we compare these choices that we've gone through with what we've heard in the community engagement, we do feel they do reflect what we've been hearing. Increased in investment and compensation, no further reductions, maintaining SBB. We think we are hitting all of those factors that we've been hearing throughout these in community engagement feedback. On this page, I wanted to give you some scenarios. So what happens if we put this into place in the budget and things change? So due to this date and how late the budget could be set, May 10th, we can't wait to start building this budget until those decisions have been made in May, if that's what happens. An organization this size, as I mentioned, takes a little bit for us to build that budget out. So what if we don't receive the $4 million? There could be direction received through negotiations, such as contingencies, or we could be directed to use one-time funds to cover any shortfalls from the state. Or we could look at further reductions from the proposed reductions presented in January. That is our last recommendation to do at this time. Really, I think a lot of those reductions would be very difficult to put in place at this late of a date, so it's our least recommended practice. But if there was something really significant at the state level, of course, that's within the district's, the board's purview to make additional reductions. But what if we receive more than $4 million? So again, there could be direction through negotiations, or we may have to come back to the board to discuss how to prioritize those fundings. And late budget adjustments. So remember, we can come back and make adjustments after the budget is adopted. So we are able to do that. It is our preference to be done by spring, but we recognize that the timing with the state may not make that easily feasible. So if we have news early enough that we can incorporate into the changes between when we do a proposed and when we finalize the adopted budget, we definitely will. But if we can't get it in there before we adopt the budget, please be assured that we can make revisions after June 30th. So our next steps. So the next time we meet, we will be bringing the proposed budget. So tonight, we are looking for the direction of what to build into that budget. So we need you to approve the direction we've highlighted this evening, or give us any further direction that you might want to start us to build that process. So questions?
Can you clarify something for me? What's the difference between adjusting the budget and revising the budget?
Really, the process is the same. We would it'll be like what we would do with a supplemental budget, which we will probably have a couple of supplemental budget adjustments here for our existing current budget. So we would come back, we would discuss, and we would do a formal motion to change the budget.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And adjusting is just when it doesn't have to be formalized to the same degree.
If we can get it in before you do your final adoption, then that would just be adjustments that you would give a direction again on.
So you would like from us, I want to make sure that we give you whatever you need, Ms. Askelson. I do. I think that we have done some work. You have presented us a great deal of material. It's based on assumptions that we think are in the realm of reasonable. What do you need from us?
Well, on the one slide I have up here, we were requesting to move forward with increasing the budget with an estimate for $4 million in new funds from the state, and I do still think that's a good conservative estimate. Yesterday we heard that the negative factor was going up, but it wasn't quite to where it would have been a little bit higher still than the $4 million. Today it's back closer to the governor's proposal. So far, it hasn't dipped below that. That would be where I would have been more nervous if it was swinging below that. So I still think that's a conservative estimate that would be easy to adjust somewhat if we see some change before the end of adoption.
So step one is giving direction and saying, please go forward with this assumption of
right.
$4 million.
$4 million.
The red box on that.
If everyone's comfortable with the $4 million in new state funds, that we move forward with incorporating the reductions that were a yes on the reduction sheet, and we had that posted on tonight's meeting again for you to look at, and it was now sorted with all the yeses at the top on that sheet, the deferreds in the middle, and then off the sheet at the bottom, or off the table. So we are asking to move forward that purple section at the top, building that those reductions into the budget, and then the offset, in other words, making the budget balance to zero, would be just putting a placeholder for compensation in that would be about $19.8 million, which incorporates the whole assumptions above of the reductions in the state funding.
I want to revisit that compensation question. Thank you for clarifying. We saw strong support for addressing compensation both in the SAC survey as well as the online survey. We want to be competitive. We want the best people working with our students every day. $12 million makes us more competitive, but to clarify, that's $12 million above and beyond just holding level. So that really is overshooting where we're at with 19.8. 12 sounds like less than 19.8, but the reality is if we can hold our steps and levels, that's a significant point. That's over $12 million already, let alone an additional $12 million. So we're not going to hit that kind of where the community survey landed. We're just not going to get there yet. Can you talk to me about what we think we can do with that 19.8 as far as becoming more competitive so that we know We're holding our own in bringing and keeping great teachers to do the great work we need for our students.
So that 19.8, as you mentioned, we have a para mandated increase of about $2.1 million that would be in that number.
Some of that go. Mm-hmm.
Steps and levels. And if I might refer you back to the February, I think it's the 16th meeting that Amy and I were there, we had kind of a laundry list of different compensation pieces. And steps and levels were about $13 million. And then we had costs for COLAs. COLAs is $5.4 million for each 1% across the organization. And then, you know, we had some estimates for if we increased the amount of years of service we offered individuals, that in order to address people who might be leapfrogged with that, that it, you know, but depending on the years of service we increased that by, that number goes up as to how much it would cost to help with the leapfrogging. Could be 4 to 8 million, that, you know, that range. It would depend on how many years of service you graduated.
Exactly what.
So those are a few different pieces.
Sure. So if I could, I'm going to have Amy kind of share kind of some updates with us on that end of things.
So we're still in the process of negotiating with our associations. The next scheduled meeting is with JCA on April 3rd when we get back after spring break. They had put a proposal on the table at our last meeting, and so the district is prepared to respond to that when we meet on the 3rd. And the single most important thing we can do to be competitive in the marketplace when we talk to excellent teachers that we want to attract to JEFCO is to offer years of experience that allow us to be competitive with our surrounding jurisdictions. So the district team is very clear when we go back on the 3rd with a focus on that.
I don't know if this would be helpful to you, but I hope so, Kathleen. I did note that you gave us an option to consider further reductions in the future, depending on what happens with the state, and I suppose what happens through negotiations. I just would like to go on record as saying that going back to further reductions in the budget is not on my list of things that I'm anxious to do at all. I hope we don't go there.
My feeling is let's remain conservative on the $4 million number. We've already taken a swipe at the cuts, and I'd rather not go back to that. And so if by remaining conservative we can avoid that, that's preferable. Certainly, we want to work on the compensation, and as we just heard, we want to plug that hole so we can get competitive so that when we make an offer to excellent teachers to come to our district, we'll be able to make an offer that entices them to say yes rather than say no, thank you very not much. I can make much more somewhere else. I definitely want to address the leapfrogging problem because I think that that has been a festering morale problem in the district for a while now. So those are my two priorities other than sort of the minimum. I pulled up the last meeting's grid that you made reference to. The para mandate, we don't have choice. Steps and movements within the salary ranges, that's simply trying to maintain the work that we've achieved over the last year and a half already. Lane advancement on JCA, I think, again, that's an attempt to try and support that which we've tried to work towards, tried to achieve. The COLA questions, I know that that was on one of the topics that we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I understand that that's a priority for our associations. I respect that. I know that we have fallen behind vis-a-vis inflation for the last several years. We saw that graphic about a month ago, I believe. But we as a district have some challenges we need to overcome as well. The leapfrog problem and the giving credit for years of service are two problems that I feel strongly we need to address so we can continue to attract the best possible teachers. So that's where my priorities are. We need to hit those basics, and then I feel like we need to work to solve those problems.
Okay. So
So hopefully that gives you some guidance.
Can I repeat what I think I understood with the 19.8 plus 4 from the state, right?
Yes, that okay. would basically be a balanced to zero budget. So all the state funding that comes in at $4 million, plus those retirement turnover savings that we put through, plus we have an assumption for loss of enrollment in that scenario. Okay. So if we go back in the presentation, it's this page, the red box. So down to the new available resources. So instead of a $25 million compensation investment, basically, we're putting on a 19.8 to balance because we
did. All right, and you're saying that covers step and a level and a COLA?
It could. It depends on the COLA. I mean, you know, it's if you took steps and levels and the para, it's about 15. We're putting in 19.8.
2.4.
Okay. I feel like I want to make a statement here that for all of us, we need to remember that we are still in the middle of negotiations. I don't want to offend anyone. I just want to say that I think it's important for us to remember that our team is in the middle of negotiations, and we are not negotiating here at the board table tonight.
I want to say thank you. I do think the conservative $4 million, and I'm fingers crossed that that's the conservative land, right? That so far the news has been less awful rather than more awful.
Yeah.
We hope that'll hold.
Right.
And I will say I'm encouraged to know that right now we're hearing conversations happening that means there's movement. And movement is a good thing. I think our legislators are engaged in the question, and I really appreciate them working in some very difficult circumstances to make decisions that are good for K-12 education or less awful for K-12 education in the midst of a lot of budget crunch. I heard from the district, the DAC, that they really do want to see us suspend is the word that they used. You mentioned that kind of as a last resort, if we don't realize those $4 million from the state, further reductions are possible. I want to echo that I think that would be a very painful for our community to weather, again, conversation and debate that's already happened. We are hearing from Cabinet, we heard it even with the recommendations, some of this is proving effective with learners, some of this is critical to the work that we're hearing SACs and principals value, and it's getting really late in the game. Some of those shifts leave a lot of people high and dry, which is part of why you all made such a concerted effort for us to try and shift this budget window forward so that we don't do that to people, because that's not a way to value them. So I do echo that my hope is the $4 million holds. My hope is that doesn't have to be on the table. And if further reductions are on the table, I would like us to get creative with one-time use of funds. And I don't want to lose sight of some of the great work that was done with one-time funds in the past that matters in strategic ways to the language always is interesting, hard to serve, hard to staff schools. Anytime that we can preserve work that matters to students' daily learning opportunities and successes, we want to do that. And for me, the compensation value is driven by a recognition that our students need excellent teachers. Speaking as a mother with young children in the system, I recognize that every person they encounter has an opportunity to be a really amazing positive influence. I've seen custodians who have diabetes connect with students who have diabetes and team up on making sure each other's doing well. I'm always amazed that I am surprised at just how powerful a relationship can be for students to be known and supported by more than the classroom teacher. But that classroom teacher will be the one who, for our students, is most critical for their success in learning and life. And I appreciate the hard work that's gone into getting us to this point. And I'm encouraged that the conservative estimate may get us to where we hope to be.
Yeah, as you can see from the changes from day to day, we have to pick a path and stick to it until the end, really, because we can't be shifting.
We can't fluctuate with them.
That's too, it's mind-numbing.
That's a
if
wild
you tried
ride.
To do that.
Well, I appreciate
so
it.
So we need to say, this is a conservative path, and here's how we would adjust if it goes this
right.
way or
we
that.
We know it may and, happen.
Right. And yes, we have our reserves, and they are there if we had to use them for whatever reason. Not the best use
of
to commit
dollars.
For salaries. No. And, you know, sometimes that could just be another hurdle that we'd have to fix the next year, and I hate to put things as a burden on next year. So if we can navigate this and everything is not, you know, we don't end up using reserves for that kind of purpose, that would be fantastic, but it is an option for us. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it unfolds, but I do think that you've made great assumptions, and I feel strongly that this is the right recommendation with this $4 million assumption.
I actually feel good about where we are, the work you've done, the proposals you've given us, all of the recommendations, Kathleen. I think we're in good shape. I would like to raise a question from this sheet. At some point, what I've learned is that anybody who's job or position or funding ends up on our list of possible cuts gets fairly nervous. It creates tension in the organization. And we still have a deferred list here at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but we have deferred it. I think my question to you would be, at what point in this process, how far down the road do we have to get before we can say to people, this is the work that we've done, this is the budget we will live with, for the coming year? Will we get there April 20th, or does that depend on negotiations? Help me out here.
I think on this deferral list, I'm very hopeful that by April 20th, we'll have pretty solid knowledge of what's going on at the state level that we can say these are absolutely off the table. I don't know that I could say exactly what the state could do today. I mean, if it was catastrophic to us and we were all of a sudden facing a rescission and a net loss, the board has the right to look at any way to cover that. But I would hope that would be off. And then as we move into next year, I wouldn't assume that if we are in the same situation where we're needing to look at reductions again, we would start that process over.
Right.
I wouldn't assume this is the list that we'd start with.
Right.
Everyone would do the same, work around what does it look like now? Maybe that's a different list. So I wouldn't assume that this would be the exact same list that would come back.
So in short, we're confident that the deferred list won't be utilized this year. However, that's barring catastrophe.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good one.
And so I think that was a good statement by Mr. Elliott. We're pretty confident that these deferred items are not going to be on our list. We recognize that catastrophe can occur, but right now we're pretty confident. And I look forward to the day when we can get to the point where we say, we're good. And if we have to do this again next year, we will start over. That's an important message that you just sent there for people who end up on here. So thank you for that. Do you have what you need from us?
Well, what I'm hearing is that it is all right for us to go ahead and start building the budget with these assumptions, and that would be what we would plan to bring back for our proposed budget.
Okay. I think from listening to my colleagues that I feel pretty confident. I'm just checking.
I didn't say anything, but good job on the conservative estimates. I mean, you've tracked it really, really well. I think you are processing, and I think we have to keep those things on there because we don't have enough information to do anything more right now.
You're good.
Thank you.
Amanda, are you good with this? Okay.
Thank you very much.
What you have then, Ms. Askelson, is a consensus board direction to move forward with the plan that you have.
Thank you. And I just want to mention, tonight's the last night you'll be getting to see Susie. She's taking a position at Manitou Springs. And so we really appreciate all her work and wish her well. So I just wanted to let you know.
And I would like to say thank you for your service to our schools. It's been a pleasure working with you. And
you.
We wish you well in your new endeavors.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to propose that we take a 10-minute recess, and we will come back and finish the rest of our work by 6:25.